Welcome to another message from Citizen Heights. We are located in the nation's capital where our heart is to inspire hope, remove limitations, and help you experience God's possible for your life. Join Pastors Michael and Heather Jarreau in their passion to help you live out your best life. We hope you enjoyed today's encouraging and uplifting message.
All right, Citizen Heights, can you help me send off our citizen kids? We've got some great things planned for them as they make their way to their classes. As they do, take your Bibles with me and turn to Matthew chapter 20. We've traveled back into the 1990s when there was a lineup of sitcoms called TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. And we've just decided that the TGIF lineup was really intended to remedy and give relief for a bad week or for a busy week. And we've really captured that, and we're taking the F and we're substituting an S, and we're saying thank God it's Sunday, because Psalm 122 talks about how David said he was glad when they said to him, "Let's go to the house of God." And our translation of that is thank God it's Sunday. So instead, each week we're taking a popular 90s TV show that helps illustrate that when we use our Sundays to gather, to grow, to share our gifts, that God does something extraordinary right here. And we want you to be a part of it. So it's a springboard. That's why we're saying, thank God it's Sunday. And as you saw, this week we're going to get a little bit of help from the Tanner household, Full House. And if you were a fan of Full House back in the day, just slip up your hand. I think the last episode ran, oh my goodness, look at all the fans. Who's a true fan? Who's a true fan? Oh man, you're a true fan back there in yellow? Okay, they're getting a, can somebody take that all the way back to the yellow shirt in the corner? Who else is a true fan? A true fan. I might ask you questions to verify. Now I know you just want my stuff. Who's a true fan? Who knows? I'll try. What was the original name before it was named Full House? What was the first idea for the name? Raise your hand. I can't see you. Nobody knows? Who would like to know? Okay, we'll just give it to you right there. I'll tell you. Right here. Check this out. Its last episode was 1995 that Full House ran. So it's been a minute since we've had it. And Full House was a story about Danny Tanner and his three daughters and two roommates, and his roommates were Uncle Joey and Uncle Jesse. Ladies, who was more popular? Just kidding, you know who that was. Uncle Jesse was John Stamos, and Uncle Joey was nobody knows. It's a crowded house because you've got these two bachelors, this dad who's been widowed, his three daughters, and then later they even add some more into this full house. And it's been 24 years since their final episode. So if you know Full House, maybe you know it. Some of you might know Full House from its reboot through Netflix, Fuller House. How many are more aware of Fuller House? Yeah, okay. And so that's just an attempt to, you know, follow the Tanner family into their twilight years, and we probably don't need to see much more of it. But let me give you a did you know about Full House. Did you know in the show's opening credits, we just showed it to you a moment again, that they're driving across the Golden Gate Bridge, and they're having a picnic in front of their house, the Painted Ladies, one of the houses in San Francisco, which is the location, you know, for the show, San Francisco. Did you know that the people in the car going across the bridge are not the cast of the show? They are just, lies. They're not. I'm going to tell you the truth today, no matter how much it hurts you, no matter what bubbles it busts and blows your mind. It wasn't the original cast. It's just lookalikes put in a car because they knew from that distance you wouldn't be able to see it. In fact, do you know the house, the full house, the house they show with the red door, this house, their house, the house that devotees of the Full House franchise will fly to go see, travel and pay money to go stand in front of and take selfies of themselves. This house, they have never been in this house. This was just the picture. The only thing they filmed in San Francisco was the opening credit scene of them in the park. That's it. Everything else was filmed in L.A. In fact, it was filmed in the soundstage that became the soundstage for Friends. Yeah, I don't know why that's sad to some of you, but church is for everybody. Even if you're that sensitive, we'll help you the best we can. So I guess, when we see something like that, we shouldn't be too surprised that Hollywood has faked us out. We shouldn't be too surprised to find out that it's smoke and mirrors. But when you're talking about life, and when it comes to talking about life and what I want to talk about today, which is fulfillment, we can't do stand-ins. We can't do post-production. We can't do one shot at this. It has to be real. It has to be real. And you know it when it's not real. I'm talking about fulfillment, and I'm talking about the scripts that we get and the green screens and the post-editing and the post-production that we try to turn bad choices, bad decisions, and bad life values into fulfillment. But there's no returning and there's no redeeming some of those paths until you come back to the key to fulfillment. Can I give you the key to fulfillment today? The key, authentic, it's real. Okay? It's this. Fulfillment is all about serving. Like everything you and I have been looking for in fulfillment, it's found in the opposite of what we thought we wanted. It's found in serving. Now, I know that we go through the motion sometimes, and there's a lot of bad acting to try to find fulfillment, and there's a lot of bad results. But when we come to the place where we understand serving will bring us to fulfillment, we're free to admit, I need to serve. I need to get better at serving. I need to value serving. I need to get around people who value serving. I need to serve better. And I need to learn the value of it. And churches are all about serving. So I want to talk to you today about serving. And specifically, over the last few weeks, we've taken a journey. Week one was, thank God it's Sunday. Because I need family in my life. And we talked about the family of God, how we all need family. Week two, we talked about, thank God it's Sunday, because I need friends in my life. And not just any kind of friend, we need godly friends. Because wisdom comes from a multitude of counselors, but confusion comes from a multitude of bad collaborators. We don't need bad friends, we need godly friends. People that will run with us and believe in us, even when we're not at our best. The third week, we talked about thanking God because it's Sunday, because, do you remember? I need forgiveness in my life. And we talked about the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And we talked about forgiveness. Today, we talk about I need fulfillment in my life. And I want to give you three simple ideas to activate authentic fulfillment in your life. Are you ready? If you like taking notes in church, or even if you don't, you can join us. You can pull out the Citizen Heights app if you like. And all the discussion notes are in the app. In fact, every week, there's a few things I want to say that I don't get time to say, and I always feel like a struggle with that. So what I've started to do is I'm putting bonus notes in the app. So at least I can sleep well at night knowing that you got everything that we wanted to give you. And so if you haven't had a reason to open the app yet, now you have a reason. There's bonus ones in there that you'll not want to miss. Are you ready for three simple ideas to activate authentic fulfillment in your life? Number one, very simply, Sundays help remind me, thank God it's Sunday, because Sundays help remind me greatness is found in serving. We find greatness in serving. Do you hear me? Look at this. I asked you to open with me to Matthew chapter 20. Look at this in verse 25. It says, Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles out here in the world around you, people who have power lord it over them, and the great people with power exercise authority over them. He said, that's the way it is. People who have power use the power to dominate and to get what they want. Verse 26, he says, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your what? Whoever must be great among you must be your servant. He says, this is the way they do it, but there is a better way. That's counterfeit. That's fake. That will not bring you to what you think it will bring you to. In a city of power, listen, there's lots of people chasing power. There's lots of people chasing authority to rule it over somebody. But Jesus says, there's a different kind of power I want to tell you about. I want to give you a title that you never thought you would aspire to. It's the title of servant. He says, the great will be servant. And the greatest of all will be the servant of all. See, greatness is found in serving. And what's amazing is how fast you can find greatness. Greatness fast tracks you. Did you know that? I mean, serving fast tracks you to greatness. It does. Last week, the block party was a huge success. We had lots of people. We fed lots of people. And I again, just thank you to every team member who jumped in and served and positioned a station, and for all of Citizen Heights for giving, because that costs money to be able to do things for people that don't cost them money, right? So we were all in on it. We were all serving. But of all the stations I wouldn't want to be serving at last Sunday when it was in the 90s and it was sunny and hot, it was the Grill Masters. But these guys right here, they volunteer, they show up, it's the usual suspects, you know. I saw Keith out there, I saw John and Mo and Marcus, and all the usual suspects are out there grilling in 90-degree heat, hovering over that thing. And you think, that's amazing. But you know who else was out there? Somebody might have caught your eye. This guy. This guy right here. You saw him too, right? Everybody knows who this guy is now. That is Robert Saran, Keisha's father. And I met Robert. Robert sat with me in the front row. I didn't know he was serving at the block party. And he's sitting in the front row with me during church. And Robert, I think he's watching back in the Caribbean. Good to see you, Robert. And we're just sitting there worshiping together and talking. I had no idea. And then Robert finds his way out there. I think he helped cook. He definitely helped dance. You helped dance, Robert. Thank you. But he jumped right in. He didn't wait 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 months. He's over with the Grill Masters dancing. And my point is this. Servants are discovered on day one, while non-servants can get buried for years. A servant's heart will awaken those around you, and people will notice you. People will see you. A servant's heart is unusual. A servant's heart is exceptional. A servant's heart is supernatural. Servants are discovered. Sarah got noticed by Isaac. Remember the Bible story? Sarah said, can I give you a drink of water and water your camels also? Remember that? And Isaac noticed Sarah. Joseph got noticed by Pharaoh. He was willing to serve. A servant's heart. David got noticed by the king. Willing to carry lunches to the front lines of a battle. But he gets noticed as he says, who is this giant defying the people of God? Like, can I be of service? A servant's heart gets you noticed, and you go from being the guy tending the sheep in the forgotten field to becoming the king. It'll get you noticed when you're the woman who comes in and starts to wash Jesus' feet with her hair, and you serve so extravagantly, and now all of history holds her account and knows her. Listen, serving in a servant's heart, greatness. Servants always find themselves in the middle of greatness because what I'm a part of is more important than the part I play. And when you discover that reality, what I'm a part of is more important than the part I play. So put me on the grill if that's where you need me. Come on, put me over here if this is where you need me, because what I'm a part of, God's family, God's house, God's plans and purpose, is more important than the part I play. And that's at the heart of a servant. There's something great. And a full house means you need a full team. You know what I'm saying? A full house means a full team. We all have reasons why we shouldn't serve this boss or that boss or serve this leader or that leader. We all have excuses, good reasons why not to serve them. But it's not about the who. It's not about who you're serving. It's about do you serve. It's not about who you serve. It's just the question of are you serving? God sees a servant's heart. He says, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. See, there's no greater title than servant. There's no greater title. The Bible talks about leaders 100 times. I know in a city of leaders, we like to talk about leaders. Leadership, leadership, leadership. But you know what the Bible says 650 times? Servant, serve, serve. The heart of a real leader is a true servant. And true servants find greatness. See, that's why Sundays help me. They help remind me that as I'm serving others around me, God is working in me. He hasn't forgotten me just because I don't have to ration this thing. As I serve, God will serve me. Number two, Sundays help remind me generosity is released in serving. Generosity is released in serving. Now, I want to show you this verse. Are you ready for a powerful verse? Proverbs 11, it's one of the regular verses around here. It says, there is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. See, it's saying there's one who's scattering. He's planting seeds. He's scattering seeds. He's giving away seeds. He's watering. He's not keeping it for himself. He says there's one that's sowing more than he should, and his world keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then there's one who withholds because he's got that rationing poverty mindset. Like, how can I give away what I got? There won't be enough for me. And look what it says. It says the one who withholds what is justly due, yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous. He who waters himself also will be watered. See, we're talking about, this verse talks about scattering, talks about watering. What is it talking about? It's talking about serving people. It's talking about serving people, being a servant. It's talking about making that discovery that people don't interrupt what we do. People are what we do. Like, we just got to change our mindset. It's just making that decision that people are not interrupting me. People are fulfilling me, doing what God has called me to do and serving people to a place, lifting them up a little bit higher. That is fulfillment. True fulfillment and true greatness happens in that place. But we have to realize people are messy, right? People are messy. And if you got a full house, you're going to have a big mess. I speak from experience. 4 boys, 2 adults, actually almost all of them are adult size now, and making child-sized messes with adult-sized bodies. And a full house leads to a big mess. It just does. But I'm telling you that that's okay. It's okay when we come in the house of God, we're expecting it to be a full house. And we got room for you, but there's going to be some loads of laundry that we got to do. There's going to be some dishes that we got to do. Someone's got to clean up and take care of what's going on in a full house. And here we are. Because a full house means a faith-filled, generous team. A team that's just generous. Generous. Let's go for it. Let's give more. So we're always going to be available. We're always going to be eager to help. I mean, there's a scripture in 1 Peter 5:2 that talks about always being eager to serve. Always being eager to serve. Always being eager to have your hand be the point of contact that brings provision and help. See, we're not built on the abilities of a few. We're built on the availability of us all. See, if we were built on the abilities of just a few of us, we wouldn't get very far. But we're built on more than that. We're built on the availability of us all. And every single person in here would have an excuse. Well, I don't have what it takes, or I don't have the skill set, or I'm not what you're looking for, or I have a past. Listen, Moses had excuses too. And I've put all of his excuses and the answer to each excuse in your bonus app notes that you can check out. Listen, none of your excuses will take away and cancel out God's call on your life. I told you at the beginning that we would talk about what is God's plan for my life. It's to give you the greatest title that's ever been bestowed, to serve, the title of servant. There's no better cause and there's no better calling than to serve people and to serve God's people. You're going to have enough time. Come on, you're going to have enough energy. Proverbs 11 says, listen, you're going to serve, and then those who water, they'll get watered. But you won't get the water that you keep and that you can scrounge for yourself. You'll get the water that comes from, the Bible talks about a living water that refreshes your very soul. Rivers of living water that refresh your innermost being. Come on, we're talking about true fulfillment, not a fake. Not something that looks good from 100 yards on a Sunday morning. We're talking about real fulfillment, real soul strength and soul health. Serving people isn't an interruption of God's priority for my life. It's the expression of my God-first priority. And it's so powerful because it challenges my me-first tendency. Come on, I got a me-first tendency. Me first, me first, me first. But God's call for my life, see, he knew how to get us going, get us serving. Because it's the very thing that starts to confront and starts to work on me first, me first. Oh, others first? See, self-concern can't survive in the ecosystem of being others-minded. And it just gets crossed again and again and again until all of a sudden we become like him. The truth is, you go from a casual church attender to a fulfilled life changer. And you find fulfillment in a place you never thought you'd find it before. Is this really where we're shooting? Yeah, this is it. This is where it really, really happens. But it looks like other people get it from over here from their job or get it over here from all of us in this room know everything we've chased has left us empty except for the goodness of God. Sundays help remind me greatness is found in serving. Sundays help remind me that generosity is released in serving, but it gives us a third thing. You can turn him up. I'm not sure why he's so quiet. He helps me preach better. You certainly are very quiet today. So I lean upon you, Daryl, and your majestic goatee. The third idea is this. Sundays help remind me because God is glorified in serving. At some point, this has got to be more than you and I getting great. It's got to be about God getting glory. Maybe that's why we've had this upside down the whole time, because it's always been me-centered. But when it becomes Jesus-centered, man, there's a passage I wanted to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read a few verses from Matthew 25, because Jesus in Matthew 25 gives you a peek into when all your days are done and the deeds of your life are measured and weighed, what really matters. Come on, I told you, we're not talking about fake here. We're not talking about green screens, and it's going to be authentic. It's going to be real. Jesus said, this is how it will really go down. Your lives will be weighed to see where you stand. In the first few verses, Jesus starts saying, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you clothed me. When I was naked, when I was a stranger, when I was sick, you met all my needs. And then in verse 27, it says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry? I think we would have remembered you, and we fed you, or thirsty, and we gave you drink. When did we see you were a stranger and welcome you? When did we see that you were naked and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, when you did it to them, you did it for me. Jesus says, when you serve people, you're serving him. When you serve people, you're serving Jesus. What's my call? What does God want from me on this planet? He wants you to serve people. Because when you serve people, you're serving Jesus. I know some of you are pretty smart in this room. You got degrees to prove it. And maybe you're way ahead and you're like, I got you, Pastor. I know what you're up to, because you told us about that Team Express and you want us to get on a team and you want us to serve. And I'm not hiding that. Absolutely, that's what I want. Absolutely. It's simple. It's not for me and it's not for the church. Matter of fact, every time we get bigger, it's more work for me. Every time we get bigger, there's more details and more issues and more, you know, it just, bigger isn't easier. To keep this DNA and this value and this community and this family feel we have, that's not easier as you get bigger. That's harder as you get bigger. So why are you doing this? Why do you want us involved? Well, it's very simple. I have my youngest son who's playing baseball and football right now, and I was at his game the other day. You would love to watch my Easton play baseball. Let me tell you why. He's got a great team, and they're very encouraging. Matter of fact, the coach of the team is another pastor in town. There's two of us. And no, I'm just kidding. And he's a great coach, and the team's very encouraging. And this is what happens. When my son gets a hit, And it's not all the time, but when he gets a hit and he gets on base, you'll see something happen. And it warms my heart and it brings tears to a father's eye. And Heather and I just look at each other and we think, he's so sweet. There's something so innocent. Because what'll happen is he'll get on base, and when all the dust settles and he's safe, you hear the dugout erupt with a chant. Beast of the East. Beast of the East. His name's Easton. And you see this little boy on a base with a big cheesy grin on his face, and he starts to clap for himself because he doesn't know it's not cool to do that yet. And don't any of you dare tell him. He doesn't know. He's just responding to this thing in his heart that says, man, I love being part of something. Man, I love to contribute. I love to feel like I was good at something. I love to feel like I made a difference. Pastor, we're on to you. You just want us to get on a team and serve. Absolutely, I do. Because I want to see you stand up and say, I contributed. Man, there is a gift inside of me. There's something I've got to bring to the table that's going to make a difference in me. There's my dugout. They're chanting my name. They gave me a nickname. Come on, we all want a nickname. Admit it. Y'all want a cool nickname, not the nickname you got, but the nickname that you tried to offer and they all rejected. It's like, why don't you call me 3% for 3% body fat? And they're like, no, donuts. Come on, donuts. Let's go, donuts. I'm working through some healing right now. Come on. God involves you because in the process of involving you, he restores you. In the process of restoring you, he empowers you. In the process of empowering you, he enables you. And you look back and you think, man, I've been serving. And you look back and you said, I was serving other people out of their stuff. And now I wasn't even paying attention to my stuff. And I look back and there's some distance between me and my stuff. How did that happen? Because the Bible says when he greets us face to face, the words we'll hear are, well done, good and faithful servant. It's the best title you'll ever get. It's what we all should aspire to. It's not just greatness in your life, but it's glory for the Father. God's looking for people who say, I came to serve. Can I pray with you? Just close your eyes wherever you are. CH Live, thank you for staying with us and holding tight. Just because everything we did today is just about this moment. So if you don't mind, no moving around and no distractions, if you please. Just close your eyes right where you are. And just imagine for a moment that Jesus is in this room. Because the Bible says where two or more are gathered, he is here. And he wants to involve you. God's looking for people who say, I came to serve. I came to serve because Jesus was the ultimate servant. He served us with forgiveness, unexpected. Served us with salvation, undeserved. He came to serve you and I. The Bible says he lived a life. History confirms that Jesus lived among us, walked among us. The man Jesus is historical fact. History also confirms he died a cruel and gruesome death on a cross by Roman soldiers to the chants of a Hebrew nation. This is historical fact. It takes no faith to believe this. He died on the cross, on the third day, rose again, appeared to countless eyewitness testimony. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection was verified. By today's standards of evidence, it's not even debatable. He is who he said he was. He did what he said he would do. But what does take faith is to stop the charade. Stop trying to earn your way. Stop trying to earn God's approval. To stop trying to, through good deeds. You know, the Bible says that all of my good deeds and your good deeds, if we piled them up, it's just filthy rags. But that Jesus did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He paid the price of sin and made us holy. And in that one act, drew us close to ourselves. See, the only hope we have to serve people is to first allow our Father to serve us. He served you with forgiveness, with love, an unconditional love, a grace that's a free gift, mercy that's new every morning. The Bible says that you are called, you're sanctified, you're justified. You're anointed. God puts all of these things in your account, but he says the only way we have access is to rest from working for them and simply receive them by faith from a God who's already won it. I want to pray for you right now. First group of people I want to pray for is you just want to respond to this message. You just want to embrace the most fulfilling title you ever get. It's the title servant. Just lift your hand right now. I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you. There you go. Hands up. We could just all put our hands up, couldn't we? Father, we want to be great. Sometimes that's a selfish motivation, but God, we know that you're purifying it. So we want to have a great impact. We want to have great influence. We want to see your name that is great and greatly to be praised to rise up, to become the mountain that takes hold and takes root and becomes everything. God, we want to be servants. We want to serve others. We want to be servant-minded and servant-hearted. So, God, we make the conscious decision right now. Lord, we're going to be servants. We're not going to aspire for any other title but to serve and to serve and to serve. And if people don't notice, that's okay. We'll serve and serve and serve. If people take advantage, that's okay. We'll serve and we'll serve and we'll serve. Because, Father, we know you watch over your word. And, Lord, we're following in your footsteps as we serve those around us, and we're bringing glory to you, Father, as we serve. One last group of people I want to pray for. You're here and you say, I need Jesus. Because the truth is, you can't become a servant until you've been served by the servant king. Jesus came as a king, but he said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. We can only serve if we've been served by the plan and the purposes of God for our lives in the cross. And I'm going to count to three right now. When I hit three, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I don't know where I stand with God, or I don't know where my relationship is with Jesus. Maybe you knew at one time, or maybe this is a comeback moment, or maybe you've never made this decision. It doesn't mean you're joining a church, although you should at some point. It means you're starting a relationship with a God who loves you like a son, like a daughter, because you are his son. You are his daughter. You are his beloved. You are valued. He hasn't given up on you, and he hasn't forgotten you. And this is the moment where everything changes. By lifting your hand, I'm not going to trick you into standing up or call any attention to you. I just like to know who I'm praying with. And I think there's something supernatural that happens when you have an outward response for an inward decision to say, Jesus, you can have my life. Are you ready? One, don't wait. Today is the day. Two, he loves you right where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you where you are. One, two, three, hands up boldly. There they go. Boom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nice and high, just wave to me just so I know who I'm praying with. Thank you. Got you. Got you. Thank you. Online, God's going to move right where you're at, up in the balcony. Wherever you're listening today, Jesus is a very present help in time of need. Let him come into your world and give you the real, authentic fulfillment that you've been praying for and looking for and working for. Rest from everything you've done and rest and receive what he's done for you. Are you ready? Church, we're going to pray with these who lifted their hands, and maybe for you if you didn't feel comfortable raising your hand. Are you ready to pray all together? Dear Jesus, I give you my life because you first gave me yours. I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. So I surrender all I am, all I hope to be. I put it in your hands. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you haven't left me. Thank you that you have a plan for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate with those who just prayed that prayer?